Shtei also Roy Sholosh. There's no difference between a Zov, who saw twice, right? A Zov is, of course, I don't know, they nowadays syphilis, gonorrhea, whatever they identified as, but there's no difference between a Zov who saw twice and a Zov who saw three Ella Korban. Except that a Zov who saw three, they both have to sit Shivna Kiyim, seven clean days, just like a woman who was a Nida. But a Zov Gadol, somebody who saw Ziva three times, he actually has to bring a Korban. Whereas a Zov Katan, somebody who saw Ziva twice, at the end of the 7 days, is not a spring carbon. Very similar, in fact, to Anita in that respect. Okay? Amen. Mitzora Muskar, the Mitzora Mulcha, there's no difference between a Mitzora who has been closeted away to see if his Saras will grow in size. And Mitzora Mulcha, one has been ascertained to have definite Saras. Ella Prio Frima, except that a Mitzora Mukhlat is cast outside the camp, and he has to rip his clothes, and he has to grow his mustache, Tiglachas, and at the end of the time when he becomes Tor, he has to shave off all the hair of his body. Bitsiparim, he has to bring birds, which are not actually karbonos, one of which is slaughtered, and the other dipped in it, and cast away, tossed out into the wild. So those are all things that are different between Mitzora Muzgar and Mitzora Mukhlad, one who's closeted to see if it is Saras and one which is actually determined to be Saras.
A Mitzora Muzgar, though, eventually becomes a...
Depends if it spreads or not.
He can't stay just...
He says Muzgar for 3 weeks. If it doesn't spread, then he's Tar. Okay? I'm ready to bar posi to Rabbi Lezeri. This Mishnah is like Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer, Omer, Rabbi Lezer says, Apishlish is Bokin Mosomi Ne Korban. Also, the third time, we check the guy. Now, what happens is that we have a Zav, he becomes a Zav Baonis. Because he has some malady, which we can attribute a Ziva to other than the disease itself, such as he ate too much, or he exerted himself too much. So some physical condition other than the malady itself, to which a ziva can be attributed. So then he doesn't have to. He's not as off. However, the question is whether we check him the third time or only the first two times to see if there was some other attributable factor. So the Rabbi Lezermar. So the third time we also check him, there might have been another factor in Nea Korban, and if there is another factor, he doesn't have to bring a Korban. Alright, he's not exempt from the Korban. So according to them, there's no difference between the second time, we check the third time as well. No difference between a Zav of two Rios and a Zav of three Rios. Baranch Rabbanan, but like Rabbanan, Hashnia Meon is Tar. If the second one had some extenuating circumstance and it remains tar, he doesn't have to wait 7 days then to become tar. However, Ashlishis, the third time round, even if it's meones, even if he has the another attributing factor, precipitating factor for his ziva, he's still tummy. So according to Rabbanan, there's another difference between the Zav Baal Shtei Rios and the Zav Baal Shalosh Rios. This distinction of whether we say that you would check him out for an onus or not on the third time, according to Rabbi Lezer, whether you check him out or not, according to Rabbi Lezer, there's no difference between a Zav of 3 years and a Zav of 2 years. We always check. According to Rabbanan, there is another difference that should have been enumerated in our Mishnah. That is the second time we check, the third time we no longer check. Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yisrael, who said no. You may see Rabbanan. If it's not going like Rabbanan, flow off to Rabbi Lezer, it's not going like Rabbi Lezer either. How so? The tiny Rabbi Lezer said the following. That which I said that the third time you check out to see if it's an onus, lola sosra amarti. I didn't say that if he's an onus, he's not sosra shivinakim. Now, this is a very interesting thing. You know, just like Anita, if she sees blood in the middle of 7 days she's waiting, she becomes tummy again, right? So to a Zav, if he sees Ziva in the middle of his 7 days, so he becomes, he has to start kind of from scratch. So it says, Rabbi Lezer, that which I said you check for onus on the third time is not to say that if it was Baonus, his 7 days are uninterrupted. His 7 days are interrupted regardless. But from the time he saw it twice, he has to count 7 days. So a third time, even if it's bonus, he still has to start again from scratch the 7 days. If it was on day six, he has to start again from scratch. Okay? So lo amarti, I only lo sosa amarti el shelo yavi karbon. All I said is that if he's an onus on the third time, he doesn't bring a korban, because he never became a true Zav Gadol, because the third time was bonus, but he still has to start from scratch again. Again, Rabbi Lezer repeats himself, Lo Amarti She'eino Zav Listor. I didn't say that he's not a Zav vis-a-vis undermining 7 days. No, those are undermined. It could be the Chari Torah Sarat Yisrael takes out the next few words. If you read them, it's Lomad Yishenu Zav Listar Zav Hoi Listar. No, of course he does take away. He does become Yeshiva Nikim are broken. Lomad Yishenu Zav Listar Karbon. All I say is he doesn't bring a carbon. Now Hadar Merad is teaching. Now there's certainly here there's a difference even according to Rabbi Lezer between the second and the third times, right? Because Rabbi Lezer also says that the third time, even if it was Ba'ones, it still breaks your Ziva, still breaks your Shiva Nakim. So he does consider the third time to be different than the second time, and that the third time, even if it's unintentional, even if there's some other precipitating event, nevertheless, you still are considered to break your Shiva Nakim and you have to start from scratch. So that difference should have been enumerated, right? In Tamar Blesi, Nisne, let it say, Hashnia, the second time, it should be Lobistira. Shari Torah Sarat Yisrael, Lo Bistira V'lo B'Karban. The second time, if it's an onus, right? It doesn't. There's no concept of stira, and no concept of korban, right? Obviously, there's nothing to be so there. You don't yet have to wait Shiva Nakim, right? If the Shiva Nakim means only after the second time, if the second time was bonus. So then you don't break your Shiva Nakim. You don't have Shiva Nakim. How many Naki days do you have to wait? If you only saw once, Yom Echad, right? 1 day. So that doesn't break your that. If it's bonus, it doesn't break that 1 day, right? So Hashnia lo b'stira v'lo b'karban. Nor do you bring a carbon either.
Hashli. Sure, there would be no carbon.
Right, because they never got to three. Ashlish is the third time. B'stira, first of all, breaks it even its bonus, and secondly, it's a carbon, right? As a Mekorim as well. So it must be. So therefore, if our mission is not like Rabban, it's not like Rabbi Lezer either. So it must be, we're not talking about, the one is going to say it on base, what the issue is. We'll wait till then. Al-Daiti Rabbi Lezer, this kind of parenthetical remark, according to Rabbi Lezer, Rosh Taim Bishufi, you saw it two times, a woman saw. Now we're going to a woman. A zava saw two times, b'shufi, in other words, without any pain. Va'akas b'koshi. It says ushi here, but the Leiden manuscript says b'koshi. Koshi. This is a complicated sugya which you probably put out of your mind, which you had in Masechta Nida, but it's talking about a woman who's maksha leleid and she's yoledes b'zov. In other words, she has labor pains. That's maksha. And then she has Ziva afterwards, right? So the question is what the status is. So it goes back and forth there of a type of thing which you don't remember from cycle to cycle. But here it says that if the first two times it was without any, you know, precipitating event, she just saw Ziva, and by a woman just anytime she sees it, it's Nida and then, or Ziva. The third time she was actually in the middle of labor. So then, so Teres, the third time she's so there, right, even though it's not true Ziva, it undermines her count of 7 days, because obviously there was blood. However, Einam Mevi'a Karban, she doesn't bring a Karban, she's not going to be a Ziva of three times, who has to bring a Karban, because just like by a Zav, the third time undermines the Shiva Nakim, but doesn't require a korban as a bonus. So to hear, if by woman the third time was bekoshi, was with layer paints, and undermines Shiva Nakim, but she doesn't have to bring a korban. Okay, Rav Yudin said. So why does our Mishnah not distinguish between the case of the second time, the third time, vis-a-vis the concept of stira and vis-a-vis the concept of checking for onus. So Zezma, I'll tell you why. Because our mission is talking about Mastisa B'shnei B'nei Odom. Our mission is talking about two people after they've already ascertained that they saw real Ziva. We're talking about the difference between a guy, not between the second signing and the third signing, what the difference in the parameters between the second signing and the third signing are, which there are real differences, but rather that's the difference between Yankel, who saw Ziva twice, definite Ziva twice, right? After we've already established that it wasn't bonus, he saw Ziva twice, and Beryl, who saw Ziva three times again, after we've established it's true Ziva, what's it between these two individuals? So in fact, there are differences between the second sighting and third sighting, which our mission is not discussing. Our mission is talking about not the Chefza of the sighting, but the Gavra who saw. Right? So therefore, between the Gavra who saw and the Gavra who saw, the only difference, once we know definitely that what they saw was a sighting, is the difference in our Mishnah, the difference of a carbon. Okay? Amr Echina, Echina said, Masnisa, Amr Kain. Our Mishnah indicates that we're talking about people, not about the Gavra, not about the Chefza. Because it says, Ein Bein Mitzorah Muzgar Mitzorah Muchlot, there's no Vidigim Mitzorah who's in Hezger, who's a little closet away from Mitzorah who's Muchlot, and Mitzorah who's definitive already, Ela Priya, except for ripping clothes, U Prima, and growing a mustache, V'tiglachas, and getting the hair cut, V'tziporim and birds. Hada Amra, and this tells us, B'shnei B'nei Odom Anakayo, meaning there are two separate people, because obviously there are many other differences between after the second time or third time, who the Mitzorah is Mitame, if he's closeted away, who is Mitame, how is Mitame, if he's definite Mitzorah, is Mitame much more. So therefore, obviously, only talking about not the difference in status between Hezger and Hechlet, but the difference between an individual who's Muzgar and an individual who's Muchlar. Okay? Again, the Gemara itself says that actually. Because in Tamar Baal the Mechor, talking about one person and the different situations than one individual, in this day, let's say, ain't been by Harris Gedoyle or by Harris Ketana, between a big by Harris small, which is definitely Tomei, and by Harris kind of small, by Harris a small Tzara's mark, which is not yet definitely Tomei, is classed, say the difference between those. But it says Mitzora. So Echmada Tamarto, and just like you say over there by Mitzora, B'shnei B'nei Odom Anakim, we're talking about not the afflictions, but we're talking about the people who possess the afflictions. Hacha, so too by Zav, B'shnei B'nei Odom Anakim, we're talking about the people who have the afflictions, not the afflictions themselves. Okay, let's once again talk about Mitzora. Of course, this is a good opportunity to talk about Mitzoras. Parchabo, I don't remember this being a Megillah at all, but I haven't learned Megillah many years, but I assume it's not there. Parchabo mitoch hezger. Now, as aloha, if you can turn completely white, you become an albino, albino, then you're tar. You're sky, okay? You're tar. Taras is only if you have a mark on your skin, but if you're...
There's no comparison between the white of the mitzvah.
Right, that's be a contrast, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so parcho b'mitoch hezker, what if you were already closeted away to see if your taras would expand, and expanded very, very much to the point that you are completely white now, okay? So Yochan Maraton Tzipor, Yochan says you have to bring birds. You have to bring birds. Hi, you never became a true Mitzorah. Doesn't matter. The Gemara is going to explain. Doesn't matter. Ain't told Sipur. You don't have to bring birds. Our mission, the mission, the following Mishnah. It's actually a Bryce in Torah's Kohanim. The following Bryce in Torah's Kohanim is a proof for Rabbi Yochan. It says, Minatzarua. It says that Minatzarua. The parts of pasuk, but we're about bringing in the case of bringing birds. Lo'avi yishaparcha kubikulo. It comes to include a person who taras has and who has afflicted him completely. She'atot tziporim. He has to bring birds. Atoimer. Sorry, I lost my place. Balotino says more. Says the Bryce actually. Shvi'ah kavachomer. My Misha Tahar, a person who became Tahar, meaning he actually was a true Mitzvah and then he became Ois Mitzvah, no longer is a Mitzvah. My Misha Tahar, Vein Simona Mitam Imo, and he no longer has any blemish on his body. There are no Simonim of Tuma about him. Tom Ziporim, he's got to bring birds. Misha Tahar, he who is Tahar, this guy who can become completely white, but Simoni Metavim Vimo, in a sense he's more stringent because he still has Simoni Tumah, and that he's completely white, his whiteness never left, it just expanded. And with the Inchiaton, Sipor is not Kavachom, which bring birds. But if you become completely blemish free, you gotta bring birds. Certainly if you're not blemish free in Tor, because of a technical reason, you have to bring birds as an atonement. This is more note. On the contrary, it's again, all the Bryce is speaking. I proved to you not that way. Valosha Amad Bo Shneishvil is a person who was closeted away for 2 weeks and his Torah did not expand at all. Yochiach, he'll disprove what we just said. Shetor, because this guy was closeted away for 2 weeks and his Torah did not grow. Shetor sees Tor, the Simoni Matam of Imo, despite the fact that he still has this white spot. He doesn't, the white spot hasn't expanded, but he still has it, right? Vein aton siporim, never, he doesn't bring birds. So too, maybe the guy who is white spot expanded and fills his entire body also doesn't bring birds. Tavulom, that's what the pasuk says, min hatzarua, that's what we need the pasuk, because the logic would not work. We need the pasuk to tell us, lavish aporcha bekulo, that a person who's Saras is expanded throughout him. Shantone's important that he has to bring birds as well. Says more im oimer at. Now, what are you going to say? What is Rabbi Lezer going to say? How is Rabbi Lezer going to learn this? Rabbi Lezer says that when he expands throughout him, he does not have to bring birds. So says more im oimer at. If you say let litoher mitoch hezger, the individual who became tar. When previously he was closeted away, lo yeton siporim, he doesn't have to bring birds, right? So, and you want to say that the same thing is true, just like the guy whose nega never went away, just never expanded, that he doesn't have to bring siporim. You want to say the same thing by this guy who the tzaras expanded throughout his entire body, Yosivne, I refute you. Lo mutav lo shi pricho prichos. It's better to make a comparison between. One second. I'm sorry. Let me do that line again. And I just look at my notes. I did it wrong. Imaimrat, and if you're going to say, this is actually Rabbi Yochanan still attacking. He says, if you want to say like Rabbi Lezer, that the Torah mitoch the Hezger, well, look, just like a guy who became Torah out of Hezger in that because his wound didn't expand, lo yet told Sipori he doesn't bring birds, so too the guy who became Torah because everything expanded and filled his entire body, also doesn't bring birth. Yosivne, I'll refute that, says Rabbi Yochanan. Lo mutav lo shi pricha prichos. Actually, the correspondence should be made logically between a guy whose saras expanded and another guy whose saras expanded. Now, a guy whose saras expanded, not completely, he definitely has spring birds. That's a mitzvah muchlad. He's a definite mitzvah. This guy whose saras expanded to the point that it completely involved his body, well, logic dictates he should be similar, because that's also called pricha, right? And that it expanded, and therefore, since that is the case, since it expanded to that extent, we should be have the to bring birds, as opposed to you can't bring a parasim for lo amida pichos to somebody whose saras remained the same, and who in fact does not bring birds because he's not similar to this guy that saras expanded. His saras was static. Okay, so therefore that's why he doesn't bring any birds.
Couldn't you also say it's just xeris akasov that if it doesn't expand that you don't bring birds, period, and not have to draw these, you know, kavachomers.
What did you want to say?
That it's gezeiros hakosuv. It doesn't expand. You just be closeted away, musgur, and you don't have to bring a bird.
Yeah, but how do we know? We want to know the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan wants to say that if it did expand completely, they do bring birds. So how we need the pasuk of Minatzarua. And it says, although I guess once I had the pasuk, we don't have to deal with it logically, but now he's adding a logic. He's saying you can't compare the guy whose neck was static to the guy whose neck. Yeah. Okay. Says my father, Rabbi Chanina, the friend of the rabbis, that means he never got true smicha and remained the chover, but says, Masdisa Messiah le Rabbi Yochanan. The Brisa puts Rabbi Yochanan. The Kain Tanya.
One second, what's proof of Rabbi Yochanan is this? That's the same thing.
Okay, Kain Tanya, we learned. It's actually a Brisa, not a Mishnah. Kain Tanya, we learned a Brisa. One of the Tanoim asked his friend, if a guy who the way he learned the logic is the guy who doesn't bring birds is the guy who's never remained static. Right? So he was never got the status of mukhlat. He never was polite candidate for mukhlat. So if he doesn't bring bird, right? Loya Maita Bizesh and Niskalita. Thomas as opposed to this guy, Shizet Niskalita. Look, this guy who the Tsaras expanded throughout his body. At one point it expanded further, but didn't cover yet his whole body. At that point, had you stopped the process, he would become a Mitzvah Mukhlat. So therefore he's saying logic dictates you should have to bring birds. Because he had traversed Mitzvah Mukhlat and transcended it. But he had gone through Mitzvah Mukhlat status, so therefore he should have to bring birds. Suppose the guy Saras always remained static, he never reached Mitzvah Mukhlat status. That's why he should never have to bring birds. Okay? Okay, the Chain Tanim is a lawyer might have position and this Khalita. This guy never got to the stage of Khalita. Okay, he thought he doesn't have to bring birds, right? However, this guy who did get the stage of Khalita traversed, he should have to bring birds from position Nisqal Khita, home Nisqal Khita, yet Tone Sipori.
They ever use the logic that the total expansion is the ultimate of the expansion of the Mitzvah. So if you needed to bring a bird...
Well, this is a similar logic. I think that that's essentially what they mean here. I think that's the pshat. So it says more... could be, but Sofa Messiah Rabbi Lezer, I have a proof Rabbi Lezer from the Sefer. What does the Sefer say? Hator mito chesger, somebody who gets Torah out of being closeted, part is exempt mipriya, from having to rip his clothes, miprima, growing his mustache, mitiglachas, from shaving, mitiporim, from birds. As almost says Rabbi, he says, what can we see from the Sefer? It says here everything which we're talking about here is although we didn't see it, the commentator brings down that everybody's talking about here is talking about where he came Torah because something expanded, and since it Torah becomes something expanded, and then it says quite clear that since he became Torah from expansion, he is exempt from all those things which you want to be mechayiv. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't have to do it, not even the birds.
What do you mean he became Torah from expansion?
In other words, this brisa, only a fragment of which is quoted, he tells us a story about where the person who was muzkar became Torah because the nega expanded.
Because it expanded or it didn't expand?
No, it did expand. Expanded too far. Right.
Oh, you mean the total?
Right, total expansion. This Bryce, although we don't have the full thing here, it says that he does not bring birds. Okay, I'm not sure, but I'm doing my plea in Lavi Tziporim. This is only a question about the birds. I have Lavi Korban, but about the Korban, Kol Ama Moedish Eino maybe Korban. Interesting thing. This guy who became completely white, he doesn't bring a Korban. Why is that? Vitani, we learned from the Brisa, B'Shvi Yigalech, U'V'Shmini Yavi. It says in the seventh day you get a haircut, the eighth day you bring your karbonos. Eshu ton tiglach, the guy who gets a haircut may be carbon, he brings me a carbon. Eshu ton tiglach, however, the guy does not get a haircut, Eno may be carbon, he doesn't bring a carbon. And this guy decides to get a haircut since he never became truly a mukhlat, so therefore he doesn't bring a carbon. Rabbi Chama bar Ukva said, "B'shem Rabbi Yosef Chena, Rabbi Yosef Chena, it's a slightly different gears in the Shai Torah. Should throw based on the Bavli, should be v'mitzaruah asher bo anega. So the person has leprosy, whose leprosy is upon him, the gomer, etc. The tamei tamei yikra. He has to call out wherever he goes that he's tamei, right?" So going to the last line here, Eshetu Moso Tlia Benigo. A guy whose tuma has to do with his nega, with the affliction, he has to, he calls out Tomei, he has to go outside the camp, and he has to call Tomei, and he has to do prion prima, right? He has to rip his clothes and grow his mustache, because he has a nega. However, Yotzu said this is a contradistinction to a guy, a guy who was in Hezgir, who was closeted, but never definitively determined to be a nega, so then he doesn't have to do, as the Mishnah said, he doesn't have to do Priya, Prima, Tiglachas, and Ziporin. He doesn't have to do those four things about ripping his clothes, etc. Says the Gemara, I could do Priya, Prima. Until now, I only see that Priya Prima doesn't necessarily, because by the parish of Tomei Ikra, so it says he has to rip his clothes and grow his hair. I only see he doesn't have to do that. Tiglachas Tzipoyre Minai, now we know he's exempt also if he's still in Hezgir, not Mukhlat. How do we know he's exempt from Tiglachas, from her shaving and from being the birds? So says Gemara. Rabbi Lezer de Rumi, B'Shem Rabbi Ami says, Zos Tietaras Amitzara B'Yom. This is the Torah and the Mitzvah in the day. Eshu mitar b'yoyim echot. An individual who becomes Tomei and Torah in one day. In other words, the guy who has definite Saras already, so as soon as it diminishes, he can start the Torah process, right? So he's the guy who has Tiglach and Tziporim. Yotze is supposed to this guy who's Muzgor. He's closeted. Let's say his Nega shrinks the first day. Can he get out of the closet? Can't come out of the closet. He's got to wait for all 7 days. Yeah. So therefore, it's not possible for him to become Torah immediately. He's got to wait the full 7 days. So therefore, he doesn't have the halacha, which is stipulated for those who can become Torah immediately, which is to be shaved and to bring the birds.
What's the time frame for the Matara becoming completely white? Is it...
Anytime. Well, if he's in Hezgir, he still has to stay within Hezgir until his week is up. Is that what you're asking?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Is there a certain time period?
No. Once he's a mukhlat, anytime his nega spreads throughout his body, he can be torn immediately.
Even if it's a month later.
Yeah, makes no difference. Okay? Okay, back to easier Gemara. A mitzvah and a tefillah mezuzah is no difference between tefillah and tefillah mezuzah. Sorry, Mr. Peter. El Shas Sfarim Nichtam B'chol Loshon. Sfarim can be written in any language, even in a foreign language. So mezuzah ain't Nichtam with El Ashuris. They can only be written in Ashuris. Chol Loshon, I said language, but that's actually not necessarily the case. It might only be the alphabet. Okay. Rishimim Ben Log Gamliel Omer. The tefillah mezuzah and the chalav mezuzah is going to be written in our Assyrian alphabet, which is the language currently in vogue for Hebrew. Shogam v'yomer ap is for him also in Sefer Torah lo yitu shikos v'alivayis. It can only be written in Greek. And the Gemara is going to explain. Ksivit says vayikol aretz sof achos v'ar echonim. Before Migdal Bavel, the entire land was one language, and the same words, one set of words. So it says, Amara, what does that mean? Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yochanan, Shubadam, Shivan, Lashon. They all spoke all 70 languages. We normally understand the Migdal Bavel.
What?
There was two Migdal Bavel, was one language, and then it split up, right? but that's not what it says here, actually. That's the next opinion. But the first opinion actually holds that they all spoke all 70 languages, and in Migdal Bavel, some of them were rendered, I mean, they forgot some of the languages that they knew. Okay? Each one forgot the languages that you know. Choronamah, the other says, no, until now, she would have been Lashon Yechir Shalom, until now they're speaking in the language of the one of the world, Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. Tai Bar Kapar, we learned Bar Kapar said, Yavtah Lukim Liyefes, may God do beautiful things for Yefes, Vishkombo Hashem, may he dwell, reside in the tents of shame. It means we should be able to speak the language of Yavis, Greek, normally understood, in the tense of shame. Now, I want to tell you about Yavis. Let's talk about his progeny. Yavis, the children of Yavis were Gomer, Mogogum, Bodaivit, Yovan, Vituvau, Meshach, Vitiros. Gomer is Garmer Maya. This generally is understood to be Germany. Magog is Gitaya. It's generally understood to be the Goths. Gitaya. The Goths and the Germans go together. Madai Kishmua, like the sounds, it's the Medians. Vyavan is a Sisu Asus. I guess that's our Greece. Tuval is Vitania. Meshech is Misaya. Tiras, Rabbi Simon Omer Pras, that is Persia, Rabban Amri Tarkot, it's Turkey. I think that's what Tarkot is. Vnei Gomer, Shurja Gomer, Ashkenaz, Rivas, is so Garmo. That's Asya, Vadaios, Garminico. This is again, I have Germany. So I don't know how much Germans here.
Germans,
yeah. 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 The kids of Yavan were Elisha, Tarshish, Kitim, and Dodanim. That's Alasteris, Avya, Vidardanaya. Esarodi, that's Rhodes, that we know what that is. Esatamri, that's Chomets, whatever that is. Esachamosi, that's Hamas, Adlosha, Evlezmer, Adkalara. Whatever that is. Rabbi Yudan Bar Yudan Bar Shalom's Amar Mikan Targum. From here we see that we're allowed to that we're allowed to give translations and understandings of various different words in Torah, even though they're very obscure, because that's obviously what we just did. Okay. Rabbi Yudan from Beis Guvin said, there are four ninth languages which is proper for the world to use. Which generally should be Greek, Lezemer, for a song. Romi, generally should be Latin. The Krav, some say the Krav means for prose. Prose, Krovos are like prose poems. I would say the Krav means for battle. And that Latin is a good language for battle. Sursi, it's another language. It's good laila for mourning. Ivri, Hebrew, ledibor, it's good for speaking. Peshom, and some say Ashuri, our alphabet, that's this alphabet, right? Ashuri, the Assyrian alphabet, is luksav, is nice for writing. Ashuri, Assyrian, yesh luksav, there's an Assyrian writing, vein lalosham, but it has no language. It's interesting, it's just an alphabet. Ivri, Hebrew, yesh lo lashon, it has a language. Vein lo ksav, it doesn't have a set alphabet. The Bavli held that there was an alphabet was given in Har Sinai. Shami is not so clear on the matter. Shami actually is much, waffles a lot more, as you will see in a moment.
How was the
associate was written? We'll see. Machlokas. So they chose. Leini Hashem chose, but more it seems that's Korbanet says, but it seems that Ezra chose Ksav Ashuri, Assyrian writing, the Lashon Ivri and Hebrew language. The Lamanikrash Rishui, why is it called Ashuri Shumushar Biksavo? It's happy or satisfied in its writing because it's very, very handsome. Amrei Bilei really said another interpretation, Hashem Sholem, Yodim Biyashur. They brought this writing with them from Assyria when they came from Gos. Time Rabbi Yisrael, Goya Ezra Shetinos in the Torah Yodo. Ezra was suitable, he's such a big Godo, the Torah could be given on his end. Ella Shekodmo Dor Moshe. Technical problem, Moshe came first, right? Ava Vishlo Nidna Torah Yodo, even though the Torah was not given by Ezra, Ayodo, Avu Nitan Ksav Loshna Yodo. He was able to give language and write an alphabet. It says, Uksava Nishtavan. The writing which was different, Kosov Aramis was written in Aramaic, Umaturi Aramis and translated into Aramaic. The local in Kosov, not like other alphabets, Lemikre. to read. This is the writing on the wall at the time of Belshazzar. So it was written in Ksav Ashuris, so nobody knew how to read it because that was the first time Ksav Ashuris was really coming into popularity, right? And so that's why Mulamich Bobo Yom Nitan tells us that they started reading Ksav Ashuris and nobody knew how to read it, nobody had the foggiest because it was, things were just changed. Now, getting back to the issue before, Rav Nachman Amar Beratz, and Ratz is old Hebrew alphabet. Beratz need no Torah. The Torah actually was written, like the Samaritans still write it, in old Hebrew writing, right? Vasik Rabbi Yosef, that's what Rabbi Yosef holds it with. Rabbi Omer, Vashuris Nidato was given in Assyrian print. Ukshechotu, so why do we have ancient Hebrew script? Ukshechotu, when they sinned, they got a lousier print. Nepachlem Muratz, they changed the rats. Ukshechotim, Ezra, when they got back their merits, the days of Ezra, Nepachlem Lashuris, they got a Shuris. God says, Gamayo, most of the day, Magid Mishneh, the way of telling over a second time, Ashulach will return to you, meaning that I'll give you back what you had previously. Because I've lost Mishnah Torah, it's also safer. So it's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu is already told, you write this Mishnah Torah on the book, Ksav Shu Asli Ishtano Su Ksav, which was going to shift back and forth throughout the ages. We think the Sefer Torah is static, right? It's much more in flux, because it's shifted back and forth between the Hebrew writing and Assyrian writing. Tayshim Elazar B'Shem Rabbi Elazar Ben Parta said Shomer B'Shem Rabbi Elazar Hamadoi, name of Elazar Hamadoi, Ksav Ashur need that Torah. No, the Torah is given Ksav Ashur. Why? What's the proof of this? Ma time or what logic is there? Vave Amudim. It says that there were hooks for the pillars in the Mishkan. So the letter Vav is there, right? It says Vave Amudim. That's what hooks are described as Vav. So this teaches us through Vav and Shul Torah that the Vav in the Torah should be Doimim, should be similar to Amudim, to the pillars, and that's Ksav Ashuri. Amar Leib Levi said, Mand my Larat need the Torah. According to the opinion that holds, the Torah was given in ancient Hebrew. Ayin Maisa Nisim. The only closed letter in ancient Hebrew is an Ayin. So the Ayin and the Luchos stood beneath. Our Ayin, not the Samach, no. Mm-hmm. Only the Ayin. Because the Samach is open in ancient Hebrew. It's like if I recall correctly, and this is purely from memory, it might be completely wrong. The Samach looks like this. The Ayin looks like this. Only sideways, not... similar to ours, but sideways. Yeah. Okay. So in any event, Amrei Levi said, Shuri need the Torah. He holds the Torah to give a Shuri. Samach my sinisim. The Samach is the nace because that's the sideways. That was hollow. Rabbi Yosher Chir Bar Bar, Rabbi Simon Tarvein, Rabbi the Bo said, Torah so Yishorim, the Torah the way the Yishorim wrote it, loyal, lo, heisholhem. Now this is the hey, I don't understand, and the only way I have to work with the Shari Torah is Eretz Yisrael. Shari Torah Yisrael says it's supposed to be lo ayin sholhem, lo mem sholhem sosum. In the Torah, the way it was given, they didn't have, it wasn't Ksav Ivri, so the ayin wasn't closed. But they didn't have the Mansbach yet. They did not have the... What's Mansbach? Mansbach are the Sophios letters. Mansbach. So they didn't have the only closed... If you have the Sophios letter, you have a closed mem, right? But if you don't have a Sophios letter, so what's the only closed letter in the Hebrew alphabet? Samach, right. So that's what they're saying. The Rishonim, Loya Loheshalem... Or lo ayin shlem v'lo mem shlem shlososu. They didn't have an ayin close because it wasn't ancient Hebrew, and they didn't have a mem close because they didn't have the Sophios letters, right? Hosavach sosum. The only thing they had was a samach close. Taisha gomli omer apis v'im lo yitiyu shikosu yu elivonis. To see return, they're only allowed to write in Greek, because Batku, they checked out, found in a Torah, Yecholi Togim called Sorka, the Torah cannot be fully translated, Eli Vice except in Greek. See, the article translation, they're only elucidations. I don't know if you noticed that. They're not translations because you can only translate Torah in Greek. Okay? Burgundy echad bido lohem. Now there's a certain burgundy. Burgundy is like a night watchman. Certain night watchmen also then continued and devised or made up. It should be. It says here Aramis. It's not Aramis. It would be Latinit or Romis, Roman or Latin. Mitoch Ivanis. Latin is a derived language from Greek, and Chazal and the Bavli are particularly the caustic in their remarks about Latin, that it's not an independent true language. So Latin, it says, was a corruption, corruptly derived from Greek.
Is that true?
Are you asking me? You're asking me?
Well,
Everything comes from Latin, yeah. But here's a
right.
But they say Latin comes from Greek. Rabbi Yerusha Rebekia Barba said, "Tirgem Achilles, Hager, Achilles again. There's not Unklus. Achilles actually. Some say translate Torah into Greek. Others say into Aramaic, but it's not Unklus. Tirgem Achilles Hager. Torah Leif Neir Blezer. He translated before Blezer Neir Rabbi Yeshua. Bekilso son. They praised him. From they said." You are more beautiful than human beings. I mean, your translation is very beautiful. Rabbi Shua ben Levi asked, V'lomo le'anu amri, why do we say in our Mishnah, getting back to Mishnah, Yesh b'sfarim ma'she'ein b'mitfilm zuzus. So if the Torah have a difference in film zuzus, Sh'asfarim nechtavim, so now there are a lot of typos in the next line. Sh'asfarim nechtavim, the Sefer Torah can be written b'shnei oros, should be two hides. V'tfilm zuzus ein nechtavim el b'orecha, they're only written on one hide. Right? Film Zuzu's Sefer Torah, obviously couldn't write the whole Sefer Torah one hide. Mm-hmm. So they would have hide after hide, but Film Zuzu is only one hide. Why do you mention that the difference? And furthermore, Hesi Rabbi Yitzchak Braid Rav Chia Kisova, Rabbi Yitzchak son Rav Chia the Sofer, Kisova is the Sofer, said, to Rabbah, ask even better question. To Rabbah means like greater. Shasvoy Nichtovim B'shtei Dapin. Svarim can be written in two separate columns, right? So Sefer Torah obviously have many columns. Uzuzuz enichtaim elabi taf echad. They can be written in one column, right? So mechaverei korei mona. So the chaverei sefer mona. No, nemar daf. That's not as good a question actually, because nemar daf echad b'shtei shuros. So what about if you took two parchments and wrote one column over the two parchments? See, that's my writing, right? Is that clear?
Yeah.
So actually, Michael, the question
what's the better question?
You need at least two parchments for the
safety. So if it
actually
has to be the same page, right? You can't divide among two pages. So actually, it is a better question to ask. Forget about the question about two third separate hides by Sefer Torah being Mutter and by Tefillin being Osir, but I have a better question, and it's talk a better question. I can't put two the same column on two hides it's not a better question. I'm sorry, I mixed it up. Mm-hmm. It's not a better question. You're saying that you can't. Yes, sir. Again, let me take it again from that. Amara Chavrai Kuramon, Chavinser from Ramona, Noma Dav Echabishne Eros, Lacey the Rabbah. He said, if you put, maybe it's a bigger case, you can't take too hard, that you cannot take too hard over the fact that you cannot write in two columns. Because you might be able to write one column in two hides, so you have to tell me that's no good. Amon said, no, that's not true. Shekin, I feel it's far from Nichtamikin. Even Sefer Torah, nobody writes like this. In other words, if this, somebody would actually write by this, by Sefer Torah, so then it's a better kasha to ask that, you cannot take two hides by Tzum Zuz, and you can take two hides by Sefer Torah Tzum Zuz, why is that, by Sefer Torah, why is that not mentioned? But that's not a good question, because actually, we never write a Sefer Torah like this. Even though it might theoretically be Mutter. So since we never write a Sefer Torah like this, it would not be a good question to ask, that here is the difference between Sefer Torah and Tefillin, that Tefillin can be written only on one parchment, or Sefer Torah can be written on two parchments, because you never write Sefer Torah like this. So ever the better question is actually from columns, and Sefer Torah we can write more columns, and as many as we want, actually, whereas by Tefillin Mezuzah, you can only write one column, not more than one column. So it says what about this difference? Tefillin Besfarim, you're allowed to put letters between the lines by Sefer Torah. Ain't Tefillin, lo b'tefillin, lo mezuzah. You can't put letters between the lines by Tefillin Mezuzah. Says Mar, no, that's not a good question either. You know, the Unker explains the way the Ron explains this. Svarim shekosim kitfillin. Why can you put letters between the lines or words between the lines? Why?
You left out a letter and a word.
So
rather than rewrite the whole thing.
Right. So you put it, but so he says, but that's only if you have space between the lines.
Right.
If you don't have space between lines, you can't do that, right? He says, really, it's not that Sefer Torah you can do it, and in Tefillin you can't do it, but Tefillin written very small, there's never any room.
Oh, okay.
Right? Whereas Sefer Torah written large, and there's room. But Echraim, if you wrote your Tefillin like a Torah, and it's big, so you can put something between lines. You wrote your Sefer Torah, and it's small, you can't put something between lines. So it's not actually between Sefer Torah and Tefillin, but between the large and small four styles of writing. Okay? Now, actually, even by Tefillin, you're not really allowed to put sandwich in lines because you have to write them all in order. Right. If you're in Kesidron, you cannot put in an earlier word after writing a later word. We're talking about hypothetically, were that not to be an issue, there would still be a permission to toll in by Sefer Torah and not by Tefillin. Okay? That's what it says here. With very small print, ain't telling me now to put something between the line. Tefillin the mezuzah shekosvan is fine. Brown looks fine. Telling me allowed to put something between the line. But Rabbi Zira Shari Ami said, "Hayakosev ele im." Right? You want to know how wide a column may be? How wide? What's the minimum size of a column? So they said it's 10 letters. Ele is 3 letters. Im is 2 letters. Another im is 2 letters. That's 7 altogether. I mean, plus 2 spaces between the letters.
Oh.
Ele, im, 2 spaces. That's 9. And she was 9 letters. I said 10 is 10, 9 letters. That's what it says. Im is a partial so you can kosher. If there were 9 letters, or the space of non letters pulling in lines, kosher, we laugh now, it's possible. The same way you write Sfarim, the same way you write Tefillin Mezuzah, meaning Ksav Ashuris. Right? Now, what we're coming to preclude is we don't write Sefer Torah in Greek anymore. Even on the mission of Lada, we don't do it anymore. Okay.
Why was he praised for writing it in Greek? I mean, why would...
Because Greek is a particularly nice language.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Even Chazar
read it. The Greeks.
The Greek, but that was the language of code. That was the English of the time. Rabbi Zeva Shem Rav said, Nikim nekabi reicho shel hay. If the leg of the hay, the one which is attached, gets a hole, im gorov nishtar shemir klan, if the place where it got the hole theoretically removed, there would still remain a leg there, kosher, then it's kosher. We laugh if it's not, it's possible, has to mean theoretically the size of a leg be above where the hole or the psul occurred. Rabbi Zeva Shem Rav said, oh yeah, gimel mechalos agvil. If your gimel went all the way to the next line, right? Let's say I wrote a gimel over here. So that's how we're going to have to take away part of this, right? Because it goes into the next column over, right? It's part of the gimel. So im gorov yishtai shem yarktana. If when you remove it, there'll still be a little leg over there. Kosher, it's kosher, lav, and it's not, it's possible. Rabbi Zeh B'Shem Ashayim Bar Nidva said, Nikev Nekev B'emtza base, if you have a hole in the middle of your base. This is not the dot to make it a base. You have a hole, right? A physical hole. Say, Mayog Gvil Mekifam, we call it Tzad Kosher, if there's enough white parchment to surround the hole, that the black of the ink does not go in direct contact with the hole, it's okay, it's kosher, lav, and if it's not, it's possible. And we'll stop here for this evening.